Hey everyone, good morning. Welcome to Daily Drop-In, where the Teach Better team is live every single morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern. It is Wednesday, October 13th, and Katie Miglin is in the house, which you know is going to be all sorts of great. It's going to be good. We have a good news article. We have good discussions from the theme this week. The theme this week is Small Steps to Implement Mastery Learning, which you know is our jam, so we're excited to talk about that. Please go fill up your coffee. We'll end our show with a big recommendation for you and hopefully also be taking your questions live if you are somebody exploring the opportunity to implement mastery learning in your classroom. So we'll be right back. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Daily Drop-In. We are so excited to be kicking off your morning with some food for thought, some positivity, some family time, answering your questions, all the good stuff. Katie, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. It's Wednesday. You know, it's a short week for many of us, and it's been kind of a nice little, like, oh, I can get through this week. It's only 4 days.
Exactly. Can we talk about the elephant in the room that the last person I saw before I went to bed was you, and the first person I saw when I woke up was you.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Remember last night when I was like, oh, Ray, you can go to bed because you seem tired.
I was so tired.
Why didn't I follow your lead? Because now I'm tired.
I'm so sorry. Yes, we had like a Zoom hangout session last night, and it was very, very, very late. And in the comments, just to slowly wake everybody up, I want you to like identify what time do you describe in the evening as very, very, very late? Because for me, it was getting very late. And I was like, girls, I have to go to sleep. I have to wake up for Daily Drop-In tomorrow. And all three of them were like, haha, you have to wake up for Daily Drop-In tomorrow. And yet, Katie Miglin is here. So, haha, you have to wake up for Daily Drop-In.
I learned my lesson to go to bed when Ray tells us to go to bed.
I'm just saying. Well, I will say we did have some technical difficulties this morning. Thank you for those of you who are patient. We got started a little bit behind schedule this morning. Paul, our incredible guest, was not able to join us, but thankfully Katie Miglin is here to continue the discussion. We hope to feature Paul in a future episode. But Katie, to be honest, like of all weeks to join, this is the perfect theme and dialogue for us to be having. You are consistently an educator trying new things, always looking for those tactical and strategic takeaways. So to be honest, it kind of worked out, blessing in disguise, that you were able to pop in this morning. So I appreciate it.
Well, I'm excited to be here. Honestly, most days I don't start getting ready until 6. Like, you know, when you guys go live is when I start, you know, getting ready. I wake up early and do some work and kind of slowly roll. But this morning, man, I was not having it. My 3-year-old crawled into bed and I was like, I could just lay here forever. And I happened to get dressed first before I started working. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, I could get on Daily Drop-In. That'd be fun. So here we are. This is what you get, people.
We think you look beautiful, very professional. We love your style. All good. We love it, Katie. I know that you're live all the time, but just for context for our discussion today, what do you do for the Teach Better team? What do you do in your like real life when you're not being Superman, like all that stuff? Give me the bio.
So I, for the Teach Better team, am the online events coordinator, which really means I plan the 12-hour.
Why is that still your title? Why, we need to get rid of the online part, because you're also planning our conference, which is, just to clarify, not online.
I know. I don't know if it was just like we prefer, you know, like it's a longer title. Maybe it makes me seem more official. I'm not really sure.
I think it should be like director of events. Like that would be like very fancy schmancy. Because it can't be online coordinator, event coordinator, because it's just not what you do.
Okay. So I do things with the Teach Better team. Fair. I plan things. I give Jeff a to-do list. And when I'm not doing those things, I am a 7th grade math teacher.
There you go.
Wife, you know, all the things.
Two cute kids staying up too late, need to reorganize your sleeping schedule so you can be live with us every single morning for Daily Drop-In.
If I can be live in my bed and just listen to you, great. That sounds wonderful.
I do kind of like that you noted that you didn't really start your morning until you were listening to Daily Drop-In. You like got dressed during that, like it's 6 o'clock our time because we're central time. I mean, that's like kind of what the show is designed for, right? Like turn it on your phone, throw it in the bathroom as you're like moving about your house or putting makeup on or getting ready in the morning. Like that's kind of why we did it at this time, was to be a part of people's like getting ready time that, you know, let you utilize it that way.
Well, and it's pretty normal for Ray and Jeff or Ray and really anybody to be on a screen in our, like in our room slash bathroom. And my kids just talk to you as though you're like talking to them. Like I think last year with all those like Google Meets and Zoom calls, they just assume any face on screen is looking at them and talking to them. So you get a lot of hi Ray in the morning at our house.
I love it. I always love when the girls say hi to me, even when I don't know. It's always something special.
Yes. Or Dr. Dave. Dr. Dave is also a celebrity in our house.
Gotta love Dr. Dave. That's the best. He's the best. I mean, to be fair, when he's live, I talk to him even when he can't hear me. So it's good.
I do sometimes also talk back to you, and my husband has to remind me that you guys can't hear me. So
I feel like that's like hashtag, you know, struggle of a friends that are virtual. I mean, that's kind of what it is. Like our whole community here, we have a whole community joining us this morning. Some of you are choosing to comment, which we super appreciate. So feel free to do that. But like, I don't know, we're always seemingly together. I feel like I'm with people, even though they're not on screen, and like that freaks people out sometimes. Like, oh my gosh, Sandra. Sandra is one of like our Teach Better family members, and she comments sometimes in our videos. And so when I meet with her, like on a Zoom call, because she lives very far from me, but we get to talk shop sometimes, and I'm like, oh, it was so good to see you this morning. She's like, I didn't see you this morning. I'm like, well, I don't know. You were in the comments. I feel like I saw you.
I know. It is this weird, like, lines have almost been blurred about, you know, like, in person versus virtual versus I still know what's going on in your life.
Yeah.
Have you ever, like, been introduced to someone that you actually know through social media and then it was awkward because you're like, oh, I've already met you.
Yeah, yeah. Like this, that has been my career in Teach Better, where I feel like I know people and then they remind me we've never met.
Yes. Like, I don't know. Is that like the norm? Like, I've literally been introduced to someone. I'm like, oh yeah, I know you've got two kids, live in this state. And they're like, how do you know these things? I'm like, oh, right. I know you in the virtual world.
But it's, you know what? Like, actually, I think it's been like a different type of struggle that we're going to reminisce on in our lifetime, because I will truly like meet people and I don't know if I'm supposed to say, oh, it's so good to meet you, or, oh, it's nice to see you. Like, what to use? Because I don't remember if we've met in person or just interacted 1,000 times virtually. Right. And I'm like embarrassed that I don't know that, but I guess COVID's added a buffer. We really haven't seen people in person in a long time. So I'm going to assume I haven't seen them.
Yeah. It is like, yeah. Like, would you say, oh, it's nice to meet you in person?
I guess, but what if like 2 years ago I met them in person? Like, okay, you guys all know the story about me meeting Joshua Stamper, where I feel like I knew Joshua Stamper. I was like a guru. I was like an avid podcast listener of Joshua Stamper. And he walks into the setup of the Teach Better 19 conference. Like, he was there the night of, we were like blowing up balloons and stuff. And he walked in and I was like, without even trying, I mean, I couldn't even like stop myself. I was like, Joshua Stamper, and like yelled at him in his face, his name. And he looked at me and he was like, hey, Ray. And I'm like, it's so great to see you. And he's like, yep. And I'm like, this was the worst first impression ever.
I mean, he should have been honored because it was like a celebrity moment.
For me, it was a celebrity moment meeting Joshua Stamper. Absolutely.
That's so funny.
Yeah, but in my mind, I felt like we were close enough because I had been hearing his voice on the podcast for episode, like for like over 100 episodes, and I felt like we were friends, and it was okay that I yelled at him, and he didn't think so. It was kind of
That was frowned upon. Weird.
Apparently, yeah. Well, I definitely feel like a lot of even the people in the comments, like Karen Evans, is commenting. I have never met Karen in person.
No. Well, I mean, realistically, thinking of our team, there's not many of us. Like, when the few of us who have met in person, it's like, hey, I know them. I know what they look like from here down.
But isn't that true? And that's the cool part. I think we've talked about this on live before. And I'm sorry, we're off track, guys. This is Wednesday. It's been a weird morning. But, like, you meet somebody and they're, like, a little shorter or a little taller than you thought because you're like, oh, I've only seen you seated. That's weird. Uh-huh.
Well, even last year with students, our school was lucky enough. We offered students to come out to the building and get supplies. And so I create math packets to go with my grid. And I would have students come out to the building to pick them up. And then, you know, you like fill in a picture of what you can't see. So mind you, these students come in, now they have a mask on and I can see their whole body. And there were some kids, I was like, what team are you on? They're like, you're my math teacher. I'm like, I am so sorry. You are significantly taller than I ever expected. And where are your glasses? And it's just like, they're like, those are blue light glasses. I'm sorry, I'm tall. Like, it's just so awkward because I never expected that. I never expected my mind to fill in what I couldn't see.
Yes.
So
it's so interesting. Yeah. So I guess we had this problem before COVID where we would like meet people virtually and not know if we met them in person. Now with COVID, it's just been amplified. So I guess the point is, and Karen kind of sums it up perfectly. She says in the comments here, I would yell at you, Ray, and it would not be awkward. It would be awesome. That's the moral of the story these days, guys. When and if we ever meet in person, feel free to yell, scream, hoot, and holler, because we'll just assume, blanket statement, we'll assume we've all met 1,000 times because we are friends on virtually. So it's great.
I just assume that's how it'll go. I don't want to be part of anything that doesn't go like that.
Fair enough. That's good.
I mean, I'm pretty awkward like on a normal day. So like, I just assume that there's a level of it in all interactions.
How did we get on this topic? What happened this morning that this was the dialogue? We were together virtually last night. I know we started. Oh, yeah. Does anyone remember?
I'm going to go rogue all morning because I don't have coffee. My coffee is downstairs.
No, that's an amateur move right there. Amateur move.
This is what happens when I text you and say, I'll jump in for you.
Ugh, terrible.
And make bad choices.
You know what? We're going to transition here into the good news story. Why don't you like go get coffee and we'll bring you in after the good news story.
It's okay. I mean, I got to like make it. It's not like as easy as just pouring it. I don't have a pod. It's fine. Let's just keep it moving.
You have two kids at home. Can't they make coffee? Isn't that the whole point of having slaves in your house? Like, get a kid to
You want to know what a cup of coffee from a 3-year-old or a 6-year-old looks like?
Yeah, not so good. Well, here, maybe some good news stories will like get you amped up. So we're All right, friends, we have some good news stories for you, and I just closed out the tab, so it's going super duper well. Katie, how do you feel about good news stories?
They are essential to my bell ringer every single day.
Tell me about that, because I do have the tab up now.
So I honestly just started it with you guys. So I teach one section of language arts. That's new this year. I usually only teach math. Language arts in our district is writing. And I just wanted something different than I was going to have in all my math classes. And so on the board every day I have a good news story. And sometimes, you know, and I look at the different same kind of places that you look, this different websites, sometimes there's nothing new posted that I feel like is going to grab their attention. So sometimes I'll just like one day it was, you woke up today. And then their journal that they had to write about was, tell me why this would be a good news story. So, you know, just little things like that, just something to start some positivity. And it's kind of been fun. Some of them, the kids are like, okay. And other times they, you know, have more questions, but I like the positivity first thing in the morning. So
I love it. Well, let's start with holidays first, then we'll go into a good news story. Ooh. You guys know that we do a good news story and holiday celebrations every single morning. We do this every single day on Daily Drop-In. It either is at the beginning of our segment or it kind of like concludes and is at the end. I will tell you though, today is one of those days where there's like 75 holidays. Like sometimes I log on and it's like, oh, there's two fun holidays, one real holiday, right. one goofy holiday. Y'all remember the fluffernutter discussion? I'm still like disgusted by that entire dialogue. Today there's like 75 a million. Like, I don't know which ones to choose. I will tell you there's some inappropriate funny ones, so I'm not going to read those on air, but feel free to go to nationaltoday.com and go check out all the goofy holidays. The notable ones, though, there's a bunch of them. And so I'm going to like scroll through and kind of filter and not read all 300 holidays. How does that sound?
That sounds wonderful.
Wonderful. First one is, and I felt like this would be a really cool opportunity to bring this into the classroom because it's just sharing appreciation. It's Emergency Nurses Day. So how relevant is that right now?
I love that.
Yes. It's also International Day of Failure, which I think is kind of neat. That would be a super cool day to be reflective on with students because, I mean, I fail on the daily for sure. So
I literally failed 5 minutes ago and I didn't grab coffee.
It's true. I'm so sorry about that. You know what, Katie? My mentality is like you make one massive failure a day. Yours is already done. Like, you don't have to worry about the rest of the day because you already did it.
You're so right. You're so positive.
I try. National Fossil Day, National M&M Day. You know everyone's going to be celebrating that one. National Stop Bullying Day. That seems like a huge deal, especially in school. It's also National Take Your Parents to Lunch Day. I don't know the last time I took my parents to lunch, and I don't think it's going to happen today, but maybe I'll celebrate that this weekend or something.
Yeah, that seems like a good, you can reschedule. You know, holidays are scheduled. You can do that.
Yeah, I think so. Here's the one that I don't quite understand, and I'm seeing some comments. Thank you, Adam, for your positivity this morning. I need some understanding on this one. National Transfer Money to Your Son Day. I feel like there was a kid one time that was like, I need money. I wonder if I could make this a holiday so this could happen annually. And now this exists because I don't feel like that's a real holiday. Transfer money to your son? That doesn't sound like a real thing.
No, I think today is National Bring Your Teacher Coffee Day. Spread the word, people.
I think you made that up.
So did that kid. So I think we can all be winners.
I also love it's Navy Birthday, which I don't know what that is, but this says here recognizing the brave men and women who serve our country, past and present, in the Navy. That's very cool.
Happy birthday, Navy.
There we go. I love it. So I do want to ask you, Katie, if you had to pick one of those days that you feel like you want to learn a little bit more about, which one would you pick?
Becky said, or celebrate. I know. Becky, I saw Becky's.
Becky's comment is, my kid totally made that one up. She has so, she's a son. Yeah,
Becky, transfer the money. Celebrate.
Yep.
I mean, I think we should celebrate M&M Day. You know, Jeff and I had a little brain break last week about M&Ms. And wait, you gave us your top three, correct? M&Ms?
What do you mean I gave top three M&Ms?
Top three choices of M&Ms. Plain, peanut butter.
And there is no question there. You should always eat the peanut M&Ms. Like, there's no...
So you're not, you don't have three, you have one.
There's one M&M the whole world should eat always, peanut M&Ms.
Okay. Would, if you had to pick, let's say you had a whole thing and there were no peanut, would you ever grab the plain?
What do you mean there's no peanut? Is the world ending? Like what happened?
The world is ending. There's no peanut M&Ms.
The country is closing its doors to M&Ms and we're like, missing out on happiness in life. I don't understand what's going on in the world.
You would never settle for a plane. I just want that to be on record.
I would consume a plain M&M if it was within another substance, like in a cookie. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff. I hope you're listening and I hope you heard that.
I'm shocked. Wait, is this a debate that I don't know about?
Oh, Jeff and I went round and round about types of M&Ms, and he kept saying that plain is worth your time. And I was like, nope.
Was this on Brain Break or something? Because this does not sound like a great conversation. And we are on Daily Drop, and we provide value and substance on this show.
You know, I just wanted it to be on record. Proceed.
Well, now we have to know yours. Come on, go ahead.
Peanut or peanut butter.
Peanut butter is not the same as peanut.
You know, I didn't judge you on yours. You don't need to judge me on mine.
I'm judging for real. Here's what I want you to know. National M&M Day timeline says that the idea for M&Ms was born in 1930s after soldiers carry Smarties, chocolate palettes. Okay, anyway, the point is, in 1930s, they thought of the M&M because of other candy that they had with them that, like, was melting in their pockets, is essentially what they're getting to here. Then 1941, manufacturing for M&Ms actually came into reality. And in 1949, the famous tagline of the M&M, melts in your mouth, not your hand, was released. So fun fact for M&Ms, just saying.
Wow.
I know, so good. Getting into our good news story, Katie, I thought that actually this, you would like this one. So I think it's cool that you're live with me. I think this would be actually a really good debate to bring to students. Yeah. I guess it is a good news story, but I actually think it can foster discussion. This is from positive.news.com. Says Norway hopes to boost body image with retouching law. So legislators in Norway have served influencers and advertisers a dose of reality with new rules that govern the use of Photoshopped images. Yes. So as the article goes through, isn't this crazy? The article goes through, there's a whole lot in here. It's truly like goes into all the research, all the statistics, everything in between. It says body pressure was always there. Often it's really difficult to combat. The ministry statement read, a requirement for retouching and otherwise manipulated advertising has been marked as one measure. So now they have to label and note if anything was retouched. So either they can choose to not retouch a photo and they can have the photo as is, or they have to put like a warning label on their images to combat body pressure of changing and combats low self-esteem, according to this article. So what are your thoughts on that?
So I have a couple follow-up questions first. When it says it has to be like labeled, what do they mean by that? Like there has to be like a disclaimer on the picture?
Yes, a disclaimer on the photo.
Okay. I think that's awesome because I mean, this is like an old topic, but how often are we advertising false image? And especially, you know, just to all people, I think it's cool to just kind of own the reality of what we look like.
I agree. And so if you want to learn more about this, obviously you can Google the Norway article. It'll come up. It's just Google the concept that this is a new law that they're putting in place. They're also using the hashtag Honest About Editing. It's their new campaign. Social media means our youngest people have a highlight reel of perceived perfection at their fingertips at a time when they should be building their confidence and resilience. So hashtag Honest About Editing. How do you think this can be used in a classroom? I mean, you said you taught first hour language arts. Was this something that you would bring into your class?
I plan on bringing it in today, actually. I think it's good to talk to students not only about the law, but also about what it looks like before the law, because some of them may not realize how much editing goes on, just shining light on how fake some pictures are. Years ago, I used to do a whole advertising unit, and I used to bring in tons of magazines, and it was so interesting looking at the pictures and kind of hearing like 12 and 13 year olds analyze what these pictures looked like, because you had such the mix. You had some students who knew and they knew it was super fake, and then you had others who were like, oh my gosh, they're gorgeous. Oh my gosh, look at how perfect their skin is. And it's always interesting to me to like kind of hit them with the reality check of, no, that's not what people look like, you know?
Right. Absolutely. No, I think it's a really interesting discussion, especially at the grade levels you and I used to teach together in a middle school. I mean, whether you teach in an elementary school, middle school, or high school, this conversation is relevant. And I think that years ago I would have said, oh, this is like so great for middle school. Or, oh, this is so great for high school. But elementary students have this exposure all the time as well. And so there's obviously different discussions you can have with different age groups, but this would be a really interesting dialogue for sure. There's been a trend that's been coming up on like my Instagram reels, like, you know, when you're scrolling through and you lose hours of your life, where they go through like edited versus not edited Instagram images. And every time I'm like, oh my God, I forget like how much editing people choose or companies choose to put into their photos. I'm like, it's a good reminder, honestly. So it's just, I think it would be a good, interesting discussion for sure.
I think too, discussing how what you imagine a perfect person looks like isn't necessarily what a company thinks a perfect person looks like, because what we see is the final product, not what that person looked like before. So I think showing the what people really look like also would kind of change the modeling and advertising, you know, game, because like we see sometimes a very different looking person, you know, depending on how much editing is going on. I know Dove years ago had a similar thing in advertisement where they did like it's like faster, you know, time changes faster. And they did that with like an editing. It was fascinating.
Okay. Those commercials would be so good paired with this article. Like, I don't know if you guys know what Katie's talking about, but it absolutely was, you're right. Dove did it. I remember this now. And it was like that speed up video, like a model getting ready for a campaign. And then all the editing that was done after the photo shoot. And it's like, you go through all these hours and hours and hours of manipulating the human body to finally get this ad. Oh, I would love to look at that commercial again. We'll have to do that. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, we're going to transition here into our brainstorm bake. We're running a little behind this morning, but that's just the reality of our wacky Wednesday. We are getting into our theme this week. Our theme this week is all about implementing mastery learning, beginning the phases of what small changes you might want to make now, what might be holding you back, answering your questions. Katie and I both use the mastery framework on a consistent basis. We both get to support and train teachers in using this. And we obviously have modeled for the last 30 minutes that we'll answer very matter of fact if you ask us any questions. So feel free to get those questions ready. Or if you've posted them recently in the Facebook group, we can answer those as well. And we'll be right back. All right, guys, you know how the Brainstorm Bank works. We get to do this every single day in Daily Drop-In. It is an intentional time for us to stop and pause and say, hey, do you need anything? This can be questions about the Teach Better team, questions about us as people, question about education, questions that you are trying to brainstorm through to better reach your learners. This is our time to talk shop. Our theme this week is all focused on mastery learning, so we're happy to dive into that as well as we get going here. And then obviously at the very end of our time together, we have a few recommendations that we'd love to show you as well. So good morning, good morning, good morning. And we're thrilled that you are here for maybe a little bit of a wacky Daily Drop-In morning show. But Katie, I love spending my morning with you. So this has been just such a blessing in disguise.
Well, I am so happy to be here. It's a perfect week for me to jump in. And, you know, it's not really a Wednesday in some people's work week. It's kind of like a Tuesday. So it makes sense that it's a little off.
Yeah, a little off. That's okay. Everything's a little off. It's a Wednesday.
Keeps it, you know, light and different.
Yeah. So, Katie, we taught at Evans Junior High together. Yeah. And I taught sixth grade math. And then my students would go to you. You taught seventh grade math at long, long ago, like, you know, yesterday. Anyway, so when this was the case, we had a lot of dialogue about how classrooms functioned, not only because we were literally like two doors down from each other in our school building, but also just because it was kind of interesting year after year to see how students transition to the next grade level with a different educator and like get to discuss what we feel like stuck, what we feel like students didn't retain year to year, and like all those things. I really, really appreciated and still appreciate all those conversations we've been able to have. So when you think about mastery learning, your journey to mastery learning looked different than mine. Can you give us a little bit about how you kind of learned about this idea, why it maybe sparked your interest and your thoughts on initially when you were getting started?
Yeah. So you know, I was teaching math. I always struggled with the idea that you have a lot of students who are moving forward and they're ready to move on. And you always have those kids that aren't ready for whatever reason, they're not ready to move on. And I struggled all the time. What do I do? Because I can differentiate all day long, but at some point the boat has to keep moving and I've got kids who are not even on it. And I remember coming to you, honestly, and I remember kind of being desperate. I had a year that students were more spread out than ever before. And I was like, I want to know about this grid method and I need to know like the quick tips so I can implement it quick. And so I did. I rolled out a grid. It was a little ugly. You know, I didn't think through all the pieces, but I was a step and I ditched it for a little bit just because I had, you know, I wanted to be able to reflect. I wanted to give the next one a little bit more effort. And as you guys all know, you know, the school year just keeps moving. It's not like you're like, oh, hey, I need to implement something. Can I get like a week off? Like, no, you got to keep things going. So I paused it and then I came back. And last year with the shutdown, you know, we were remote. Our district, we had a few days a week where we were in asynchronous, and I kind of utilized that extra time to really give those grids some good thought, do a lot of reflection. It forced me last year to get creative, and now I have all of my units are in some way either a grid or a digital version, but all stemming from that mastery learning. And I feel like I have a better handle on where the students are at. I feel like I know what step I should take every day, you know, how can I reach more kids? And I just feel like it's been a huge lifesaver.
So Katie, I love reflecting on your journey thus far through mastery learning, because now you have become so active in the Teach Better team. You are always on camera, always sharing your ideas, but you also, and I'm saying this like, because I so appreciate about you, you're very honest that like when you got started with this, it was not this like beautiful picturesque experience where you learned about the grid method and then it just flowed beautifully and all your students loved it. And you just felt so confident right off the bat and just never went back. Like that's not quite been your journey. And I really appreciate that you've been willing to say, no, I tried it and it like kind of bombed. And then I took some time away and then I did it again. And there were things I liked and things I hated. So then I stopped. Yeah. Like that roller coaster is exactly how I feel like most people's experiences with mastery learning, because like you said earlier, there's so many pieces to consider that when you leave out one piece, it becomes challenging to like believe that if you just adjusted one idea that you could continue forward and feel more successful. It seems easier to take time off and go back to other practices. And so right. I think it's really interesting that process was like 2-3 years of you kind of playing with it and then deciding to step away. And I think that that's like the truth of almost everybody that gets started with this.
Yeah. And you know, it has been a journey, but there were enough little moments that I was like, this is what I need. This is what I want, that kept me going. And, you know, I remember early on, it was one of the first grades, my administrator walked in, not for an evaluation, just to stop by. And I literally had a group of kids conferencing in one corner. I had a little pod table of students taking an assessment and I had other students collaborating. And it was one of those moments as a teacher where you're kind of like, oh my gosh, I think there's a unicorn jumping in the background too. Cause it was just like so perfect. And he made a comment. He was like, oh, there's so many good things happening right now. I don't even know what to like, you know, to look at. And I was like, it just was one of those moments where I was like, okay, it may not go perfect every day. We may have struggles. There might be things I need to fix, but this is enough to keep me going. And, you know, I think it's unrealistic to think that any new practice is going to be rainbows and unicorns the next day. Like we have to evolve it. It has to work for us.
Yes. And if it's so easy when you originally start, then you probably, like with any new idea, if you have a new idea and you implement it, and it goes perfectly the first time, you probably didn't stretch your thinking enough into visioning what it could be. And right. I think it's so cool. Like those moments, I feel like are what fuels me. When I implement every year, literally every year when I bring the grid method to students, the first two grids, hot mess express. Yep. And I've been doing it for years and still I'm like, this isn't working. And then there's this point, like whether it be like in your third grade or whatever, there's this moment where everything's going really well and you look around and you're like, we did it.
Yes. Yeah. So, like I'm going to be honest right now. I'm in my first grid. We did an intro grid and that was fine, but now we're in our first content grid. And I was out of the building yesterday for some training and I was like looking at some of the things they were turning in and I was like, we're going to take a little time out here, revamp what we're doing, because it's just so, you have to keep working and you can't give up. And, you know, the kids are, they have to give you feedback too. You know, I always encourage people to like put out surveys, let them tell you how it's going, because teacher's perspective is not always the same as the kid's perspective.
Right. And those suggestions doesn't mean that you necessarily have to stop. Maybe you do take a pause, right. But really it's like, what tweak should I be making? And just walk in the door being like, I know this isn't going to go well right away. Right. So as I implement something, that feedback is going to allow me to figure out like what tweaks I should be making right now and what tweaks I can wait until later to manipulate. And so
exactly.
I think that's, it's so true. Like it's tricky. So tricky.
Yeah.
So when you got started, I know that obviously like we were good friends and talking through the process, but I know, and I appreciate this about you, like you weren't sold on this idea. I kind of came to you and was like, Katie, this practice has changed my life. You should do it. And she was like, meh, good for you. So right.
I'm pretty sure I was like, that's not going to work.
Yeah. Well, and hashtag been there. So when you originally, and I don't remember this moment, but like when you said, okay, I'm going to start it, maybe. What do you feel like you went to first that went well? And then what were the mistakes you made that you were like, oh, obviously this didn't work because I forgot about these other components?
So I have always used a math packet. Now, before you like criticize the math packet, it's not worksheets. Our district doesn't have a math textbook right now. So we, as a department, Ray included in that, kind of started building our own textbook. So any notes students would need, any practice, anything, we would create these packets. And some teachers put them in interactive notebooks. I always just chose to have a packet. And so I had that, and I had random supplemental videos and kind of online things. And so I really just put them together. And I thought through, what is each day going to look like in this unit? What do I want them to accomplish? You know, I had my assessments that I knew I was working towards, but then I also thought, okay, if I look at the big picture, what sections do I need to chunk so that I can check before they move on? And from there, I just started kind of building the rows. And I think one of my biggest mistakes was just assuming, this is going to sound ridiculous that I assumed this, but I assumed that kids would just know what to do. And I was like, well, they're going to click on all the links and they're going to do all the practice and they're going to fill out that packet. Duh.
Well, but you're saying like you started with the content and then realized the classroom management was the part that you didn't focus on.
Right.
Which kind of makes sense. Like I can understand. You're like, I have a framework I'm going to use. I need to focus on putting my content into that framework and we'll go from there. And the reality is that we deal with tiny humans and they don't really care about the content as much as they care about like knowing what they should be taking their time to do or click on or work on.
Like, I'm going to be totally transparent. I've done the grid for a few years now. Literally tomorrow, today we have a different thing for our school, but tomorrow I'm pausing the grid to talk about behaviors, because it's not, when I say behaviors, I'm not saying that kids are misbehaving, but I have kids who are not looking at my feedback and making changes. They're not taking the notes and applying them to the practice. So I can see that in their work that they're not grasping what they need. So tomorrow we're going to talk about, what do we do with the notes? How do we take that information and apply it to the practice? What do we do when Mrs. Miglin tells us we got a question wrong? Do we just say, okay, keep moving? No, we have to look at our work. We have to ask if we don't understand. You know, it's like you're taking it and just going step by step by step. And I've been teaching for long enough, you would think I would remember. They don't know all that. Like, unless you specifically say it, they're not going to do it.
Well, and it's interesting because we've talked a lot about how your class can be set up in a mastery learning environment, and taking time away from mastery learning is completely okay. For some reason, people think that if they like use the grid method, they have to use it every day forever and they can never take time away from it. And that's like, so far from the truth. So taking time away is important, but even in the discussions we've had about like structuring your class hour, where you might do like a full class mini lesson, and then you might have grid work time and end with goal setting and reflection, that mini lesson beginning time, I started calling teacher time, because it wasn't always a mini lesson. Sometimes I went over content, but other times, like you're saying here, I went over like common hurdles that I'm seeing come up, like reminders of procedures, reminders of like how to be a good learner, how to be a good student, or like fostering discussion around, hey, yesterday seemed wacky. Like, let's reflect on what happened yesterday and have a discussion. I mean, that time was created away from the grid so we could do exactly what you're talking about, is like going over life stuff, you know?
Right. And I think it's taken me a while. I mean, obviously I've been teaching for a while, but it's taken me a while to be okay with that pause and teaching behaviors. Cause I think for so long, I thought I'm pausing, I'm losing content time. In reality, the more I can teach and, you know, and explain the behaviors, the content part goes so much better.
Well, and that's something that I feel like we constantly preach, and it's really, really hard to feel like you can take that risk, but it's true. The more you focus on procedures early on, classroom management early on, then the content's going to flow because the classroom management expectations exist there, which is why in intro grids or other strategies that educators right. use, you're really teaching the students the procedures, the process, the classroom management before you dump on new content, because you really want them to understand how to learn, how to progress, how to question before you get into them having actually to apply those skills, which makes a ton of sense. So
yeah,
super interesting. You know, Katie, we are running out of time here. And you literally, I could talk on this with you for hours, because I truly, truly appreciate that you are so willing to share and have such a journey, like getting into believing that mastery learning is what's right for your students. And so I want to really encourage our network to reach out to you. However, we also have a recommendation that we're going to meet. And during this recommendation, I'm going to share my screen. At least I'm going to try and share my screen and go through some stuff, because I feel like sometimes people don't know where to start. So we're going to transition here, but I know that there's plenty more that you'd be willing to answer. So if you're in the comments right now or listening after the fact on Teach Better Talk, please reach out to Katie. She is a wealth of information.
Happy to help.
All right, let's go into recommendations we love. I'm going to try and share my screen and we'll see if this works. All right, look at this, Katie. Fancy schmancy over here, right?
Ooh, I like it.
I know. All right, friends, if you're just listening on Teach Better Talk podcast, I'm sharing my screen. That's literally all that's going on. As you guys know, for Wednesdays, we have recommendations. And while there are so many recommendations that we could provide you in getting started with mastery learning, I literally want to share a website with you. Yes, it is teachbetter.com, but it's teachbetter.com/thegridmethod. The reason I want to share this with you is because there are so many resources here, and like kind of embarrassingly, I really believe that people don't know what's on this page. And so I want to pull it up just to go over, if you've gone over this week learning about things and you're looking to explore more, this might be the best place to start for you if you're looking for some resources. So I'm literally just scrolling through this as if I was doing like a breakdown of how this website's built. But what you're going to see here, Chad talks about what the Grid Method is. If you're not familiar with Chad, he's the creator of the Grid Method, the Mastery Learning Framework. There are a lot of Mastery Learning Frameworks out there. We are super biased because as a Teach Better team, we really believe that the Grid Method is the best system that's really constructed for not only the teacher, but the student. Again, whichever one you use is fine. These resources still could be helpful, even if you choose not to use the Grid Method. You'll see here that there is a link to our academy. We have a free course and a full course in our academy that walks you through with a workbook and examples, like how to do this.
Can I also put a plug in? That's where I started.
That's where you started on the academy?
Yeah, I did the course before I started my grid.
Nice. Did you do the free course or the full course?
I don't remember, honestly, whatever one was great.
The way I phrase it is like the free course is like the 1,000-point view. Like, what is the grid method? How is it structured? What are the bare bones basics? The workshop, the full course gets into like, how do you go through the steps? Like identifying your standard, breaking down targets, understanding your assessment. So like depending on.
Yeah. Right. I think I started with a free and then I took a live. Like training over the summer. Like there was some workshop that you guys were offering one summer. And then I think I did that like live.
Okay, no, that totally makes sense. And I again, like, depending on your style, this may not be like all these resources may not be the best thing for you, but right. But like depending on what, like, we where you want to get started, they might direct you in some direction. So right. The courses are great. We, you guys know, we release a course in our academy like every 30 days. It's usually mm-hmm. the third week of the month, which is literally next week. Hunt, hunt, hint, hint, like nudge, nudge. There's probably a course coming out. But anyway, the grid course is obviously there. Okay. These are the resources I don't think anybody knows about. So these are all free downloads, like each one of these clickable resources. So you can get the grid method workbook. I really love this FAQ, frequently asked questions mm-hmm. from a teacher perspective, admin perspective, and parent perspective. Yeah. This is like, truly, we work with districts all across the world. Like, what are people asking? What are the hesitations? What are the hurdles? And what are our typical go-to responses? I think that this is one of the few things that as people are getting started, they're like, oh, I'm not sure how I'd share this with parents, or, oh, I'm not sure if this would work in my class. This could be a good spot to start. Yeah. We also have Education Blueprint. That's a nonprofit that we always support. It's essentially a better teachers pay teachers in many sense, but it's completely free. It's a beautiful nonprofit created by members of the Teach Better family. And they house a lot of our grid. So that could be a way to see examples of the grid. If you're not in our private Facebook group, definitely go there. We literally had activity last night, 2 or 3 posts last night of people asking for suggestions and ideas of the grid and everything else. The last thing I want to mention is we did a blog series. Like, I think it was like this time last year, and they're all housed right here, and they're frequently asked questions on the grid method, written by all different members of the Teach Better community that have tried and done the grid method. So I'm not going to read them necessarily all to you right now, but if you're looking for kind of like that FAQ, that could be a good spot to go as well.
Yeah, they're super helpful.
Super good. So hopefully that gives you some things to consider if you're looking to kind of like explore more. I appreciate like some of the comments here are saying that people got started, like you, Katie, like, oh, I took the course, or, oh yeah, that download was helpful. If you guys don't know where to start, that's a really good spot. Or like I said, just reach out to us. Like, we are more than willing to share anytime. So just let us know what you need and we'll make it happen. It'll be good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also just be honest with yourself. Like, you can't, if you're not fully invested or you're not fully, you know, can't wrap your mind around it, then it's going to be harder for your students. So really make sure that you think through what you want, what goals are you trying to accomplish, and think through all the moving pieces so that when you roll out that first one, there's going to be bumps and hiccups. That's, you know, a given, but so that those are a little they're minimized, and so that you can kind of focus on the little things versus having to start over. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's so many like key essentials that I would totally recommend to people. Like, oh, if you don't do this, you're going to have this problem. And I can tell you that in advance. So using that collaborative environment to like talk shop with people and figure out what you need to start with, super important.
Yeah.
Well, Katie, what else do you plan for today in your own life? I mean, you're headed to school soon in a minute. Like, I know we're gonna head out and say goodbye to people, but do you have anything fun planned for today?
Today's a busy day for me professionally, I guess. We've got our district does PLCs, professional learning communities. So we have those this morning. Actually, as I'm telling you this, I just remembered I keep thinking my daughter's bus will be here in 10 minutes, but it's not, because students come an hour later so we can have those meetings. I'm super excited. We've got a coffee bus showing up to school today to bring coffee, which is so good, especially since I haven't had any. And then our team is doing a ketchup day, not to be confused with ketchup and mustard. We're not eating cheeseburgers. But a ketchup day, we're allowing students to just kind of look at all of their work, where are they at this year, and get themselves caught up, get the help they need. And so I'm excited to just be able to connect with some students, especially after a long weekend, get them right, you know, connected and things like that. So should be a busy day, should be fun, but yeah, it's a Wednesday. So we made it halfway to the week.
Halfway through the week. I love it. Tomorrow, I hope that you all choose to join Daily Drop-In in the morning. We'll have Andrea joining us, also from the Teach Better team. It's a Teach Better team week. We had we have Megan tomorrow. We had Andrea yesterday.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. We have you today, Megan tomorrow, And then Brad, we had like an entire team week. This is crazy, talking mastery learning.
This is exciting.
I love it. Katie, thanks for jumping in. I know we're disappointed that our guests couldn't join us, but I feel like we had a lovely time and we had some great comments. So I'm glad that we were able to take some questions live from everybody. And then of course, if you have other things that you need, let us know. But Katie, I hope you have fun on your crazy, wacky Wednesday.
Yes, thank you. You too.
Yeah.
Enjoy your M&Ms today.
What?
I said enjoy your M&Ms today.
Oh, everyone go eat an M&M for real.
Peanut though. Don't waste your time with the plane.
Obviously, there's no question Jeff Gargis is wrong. Please go enjoy your last sip of coffee. I think I have 2 sips left. I didn't do well this morning. Katie, go get some coffee, please. And for everyone else, we hope that you have an absolutely wonderful Wednesday, October 13th. Please let us know if you need anything. And we'll see you again later today for Brain Break and then tomorrow for Daily Drop-In. So bye, guys.